Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We are broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the treaties of peace and friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Thursday, July 22nd. Coming up on today's show, Sackville Town Council met Tuesday to approve recommendations for municipal reform being sent to the province. We listen in on the meeting to find out what Sackville is hoping for when it comes to local governance reform. But first, EOS Eco Energy has posted the job of climate change coordinator for the town of Sackville. EOS says it's looking for a dynamic individual to work out of its Sackville office for a six-month period. The coordinator will work on implementation of the town's adaptation and emissions reduction action plans. They will also help educate town staff and council and raise public awareness about climate change impacts and actions at the local level. The position is funded through New Brunswick's Environmental Trust Fund and was originally planned as a full-year position. Partial funding was announced in April, but the process to secure the funding took months. The position will now run from September to March 2022. The deadline to apply is August 15th. EOS and the Town of Sackville are collaborating on another project underway now at Town Hall, the expansion of the green roof. EOS says thanks to federal EcoAction funding, the expanded roof will create a community green space, help save energy, and reduce stormwater runoff. Town Council approved the project back in November, and Town Engineer Dwayne Acton suggested at the time that the roof could be used to grow vegetables that could supply the Sackville Food Bank. The expansion comes with no cost to the town of Sackville, thanks to a $30,000 grant raised by EOS to cover an engineering assessment of the roof and construction. In COVID news, the provincial rate for second dose vaccinations reached 60% on Wednesday, as no new cases were reported. There are 7 active cases left in the province, with 6 of those in Zone 1. Another 99,000 people need to get a second dose of a COVID-19 vaccine to trigger the final phase of the province's reopening plan, which could mean the lifting of all public health restrictions. Corner drugstore pharmacist Charles Beaver says the local pharmacy has administered over 5,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccines so far. Beaver says anyone waiting on their second dose or still considering their first can contact the pharmacy, as there are many open appointments and walk-in appointments are also available as much as possible. Beaver says he encourages those who aren't sure about vaccine safety or effectiveness due to allergies, medical conditions, or any reason to call the pharmacy or a trusted medical advisor and air their concerns. In the local restaurant scene, there's good news and bad news to share on Bridge Street. First, the good news. Mel's Tea Room is open again for in-person dining. The Bridge Street landmark has been open for takeout only for many months due to COVID-19 restrictions and renovations. But as of Wednesday morning, it was open for seating. Mel's is open 8 to 8 on weekdays and 10 to 8 on weekends. And then there's bad news. Pizza lovers are mourning the recent permanent closure of Napole Pizza on Bridge Street, just across from Mel's. Owner Carmine Casso posted a notice on the store window last week saying he decided to close Napole to focus on new initiatives that will still make him part of the amazing community of Sackville. He also welcomed new restaurant tenants into the space. Fenner's Place promises to specialize in Kurdish cuisine. CHMA has reached out to Fenner's owners and hopes to bring you more details next week. Sackville Town Council met Tuesday night and approved a draft of a letter to be sent to New Brunswick's local government minister, Danielle Alain, with the town's position on possible reforms to how municipalities are organized and taxed. The letter breaks down the town's position in terms of 4 pillars described in the province's green paper on local governance reform: structure, land use planning, regional collaboration, and finance. Structure is typically the first thing people think of when talking municipal reform. Currently, about 30% of New Brunswickers, like those living in the Sackville Parish Local Service District just outside of town limits, don't have local-level representation. Instead, they are governed directly by the province. Danielle Alain has expressed interest in ending that lack of representation. And the town's letter also supports the idea, suggesting some form of regional government for unincorporated areas, while also clearly stating that the town would object to any forced amalgamation. So the town supports regional government, but not if it includes the town itself. Of course, it's likely that any form of regional government for LSDs will be forced, as Councillor Sabine Dietz pointed out on Tuesday evening.
Having worked with local service districts in New Brunswick over many, many years, or not worked with them, depending on how it functions. But just to reiterate that while it is not functional, that in most cases, in terms of reforms, local service district folks have opposed any kind of structural update or changes over the last many, many years since the first kind of, I think the Finn report was probably the first, which is a reform report. Anyway, I just want to highlight that I support this, but we also need to go into this with our eyes open, I think.
In terms of regional collaboration, the town's position is that while it makes sense in terms of recreation, tourism, and economic development, it makes less sense in terms of fire, police, and public works. It's a position that Councillor Bill Evans explained with an unfortunate analogy during the meeting, which later garnered negative reactions on social media. Evans said regional collaboration between the town and the LSDs was like a bachelor participating in a wife swap. Though he didn't want to comment on the negative reaction to his use of wife swap, he later explained his point.
But the notion is, it's absurd to say, let's each contribute when one person has nothing to contribute. So I'm talking about fire department. We have millions of dollars worth of equipment, and the bulk of the LSD has none. There's nothing in it for us. So for us, sharing with them is absurd unless they're going to pay a fee for service. So that's what the letter had said. We're not interested in doing that. We already have mutual aid agreements with other fire departments. But in terms of providing service to people who have nothing, it doesn't make sense to call that collaboration.
Evans says mutual aid agreements have already established a good working relationship with communities outside of the town, and the idea of amalgamating the departments beyond that is fraught. Councillor Sabine Dietz was the first councillor to suggest a change to the town's letter as composed by staff. Dietz honed in on the land use planning section and asked that the need for planning rules that allow for climate change adaptation and mitigation be highlighted. Dietz had to defend the move slightly, as in this exchange with Mayor Sean Michaud.
Given that climate change is one of our, no, is the biggest threat today, I think it warrants that it's made clear in this letter that based on that and the many other things that are relevant, but based on that, we need to address how we manage our landscape. And there is no question that we do need to do that. So I just like it a bit more prominently there to make it clear that we realize that and we recognize how important that issue is. And all the other issues just flow from that anyway. They all connect to it, so.
I'm just curious as to the wording on this, because currently it says New Brunswick needs a provincial planning framework that addresses issues such as climate change. So it is the first thing on the list. So I'm just kind of want to get an understanding of how the thought process around how that can be exemplified more.
Yeah, so it is not addresses issues such as. Climate change is not an issue such as. Climate change will be the driving force behind what we do and cannot do moving forward. And so it is not one of the issues. That's all I'm saying. It is literally, it's got to be more prominent and it's got to be recognized. It's not among the other things, coastal development, urban sprawl. All of those will be based on what climate change does. So it's not an issue among others. It is the key issue that will need to determine how we manage our land around us and our cities and our towns and our communities, etc.
That was Councillor Sabine Dietz and Mayor Sean Michaud speaking at Sackville Town Council on Tuesday. Council ended up approving Dietz's suggested change to the letter, along with one other. Councillor Andrew Black brought up the idea of including some of the relevant calls to action from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission report. Black quoted several he felt were relevant to multiple levels of government and suggested including them.
Truth and Reconciliation, there's 94 calls to action. Four of them are directly related to municipal, provincial, federal, but municipal and provincial reform. And there's three of them, I wrote them down here, 43, 47, and 57, that might be nice to get into this kind of reform. I mean, this is a massive reform with governance and, you know, you're talking about finance and regional collaboration. There's a lot of stuff in here that's being completely changed. And so this might be an opportunity to get something in there that would be directly related to truth and reconciliation.
The issue appeared forgotten until Councillor Alison Butcher brought it up again later in the meeting. Councillor Ken Hicks wondered if the input on First Nations affairs shouldn't come directly from First Nations communities, saying that he assumed the province would also be consulting First Nations directly. Mayor Michaud chimed in to say that the regional mayors had talked about inviting Fort Folly to join their meetings, but wondered if the issue was a sideline to what the local governance process was looking at. Sabine Dietz disagreed and wrapped up the discussion.
Yeah, so with all due respect, I disagree that this is a sideline. And actually, it's an oversight on our behalf not to have included that originally with the letter. One of the things is we acknowledge unceded territory in our municipal meeting, and we do need to acknowledge that we are functioning and operating on unceded territory here. So it should at least go in the letter at the beginning as a preamble. The second piece is, Councillor Hicks, you assume that the province will consult. Our provincial government for many, many years back, and it doesn't matter which color, has an abysmal record of collaborating, cooperating, or consulting in any kind of form with Indigenous communities. So you just have to go to Nova Scotia, where it's very different. In any case, that's neither here nor there, but as a municipal government, it is our role as well to encourage, in the spirit of truth and reconciliation, to encourage both the government to properly work with Indigenous communities and for us ourselves to acknowledge in a letter such as this that we are on unceded territory. So what I'm suggesting is a short preamble that simply states that we are on we recognize that we're sending this letter from unceded territory, unceded Mi'kmaq territory, and that we expect, not even recommend, we expect the provincial government to consult with Indigenous communities around us on any reform process, on any reform. And that's all that needs to go in there. And I think that's very appropriate. That's our role.
That was Sabine Dietz speaking at Council on Tuesday. In the end, Council passed a motion approving the letter with both suggested changes to be incorporated by staff before the mayor signs and sends it off. Danielle Olin has promised further in-person consultations this fall after the province releases a What We Heard document about their consultations so far. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Thursday, July 22nd. As always, for story ideas, tips, or feedback, contact us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.